Well, I do want to invite all of you to turn in your Bibles to John 14. John 14. The title for this morning's message is The Peace of Christ. As we continue our series in Advent, which means the coming time or the arrival, John 14, verse 27. We'll start in verse 25 as we read along with me to the end of the chapter, verses 25 and following. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, Jesus says. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Here is our passage for today's exposition. Peace I leave with you, Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. Now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me. But I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord remains forever. Amen. Well, this was the last discourse Christ had with his disciples before his death. And therefore, these words, I believe, are part of the most affectionate discourse ever given by Christ. It's evident that this discourse made a deep impression on the minds of the disciples, as it is here that Christ told his disciples that he was going away. Now, these words then were given to comfort his people, to relieve them, to relieve you of your sorrow. You might say, as some have said in commentaries, that this is our Lord's last will and testament. So just as parents leave a last will for their children before their death, so does Christ in this passage before us this morning. But he doesn't leave us with such things as money or possessions, an estate. He gives us divine peace, something far greater for you and I to treasure and to enjoy our life as pilgrims. So bow with me again as we look at God's word. Father, we ask that you would come now and send your Spirit to be the author of affections and illumination and thoughts rightly composed upon our inner man, that we might think of you rightly and feel of you rightly, and that we might have the peace that Christ speaks of here. In this hour, we pray. Amen. Well, again, look at your Bibles in verse 27. Christ says, and I'm just going to address this passage phrase by phrase. So look with me. He says, peace I leave with you. The word for peace there is irene. You might define it as a soul at rest. Peace is the soul at rest. It is the happy contentment that Christ brings into a heart of his children that he so dearly loves. Matthew Henry said, biblical peace is a sweet tranquility of the mind. So biblical peace is a heart or soul that has tasted of Christ and seen him in his beauty and his glory, and now that soul is at rest because of who Jesus is and his work for us. And I think it's helpful to break peace up in two categories. Typically, we think of peace in two categories. One, we think of peace as a peace of conscience, that because as we relate to Christ as a redeemer and mediator, He gives us this peace at rest with Him as He's died for us and lived for us. We now have peace with God, Romans 5:1, that our consciences are no longer harassed by our guilt and our sin. Our bodies and our lives are not harassed and tormented by God's wrath anymore. Now we have peace of conscience and we stand justified and liberated in God's sight. So we have a peace of conscience before Him. That is true in the life of a Christian. That's one way that Christ brings peace to our life here. As He says, "Peace I leave with you." That's one way we ought to take this phrase, that He gives us a peace of conscience before Him, no longer harassed by guilt. The other sense we ought to think of peace is a peace of circumstance. This, I believe, is the hardest sense that we have to deal with peace. As we relate to Christ as our Redeemer and Savior, we have a peace of conscience, yes, and we stand before Him justified and forgiven and washed and clean. It's a great news. But there's also a sense where there's a peace of circumstance as well. That Christ as Creator and providential ruler now, As Creator and providential ruler, He's going to bring into your life struggles and difficulties and afflictions and sufferings. And I think Christ here still speaks of having peace. "There's a peace I leave with you," He says, "that is true, that is real, even as you stand or sometimes bow or sometimes are crippled under these afflictions. That though you confess He is good in all of His ways, He is inscrutable in all of His ways, though He brings this to you, and therefore you are able to have a peace of circumstance as well, knowing that you have entrusted yourself and your life into your Creator and providential ruler. And so you have a piece of circumstance along with a piece of conscience." That's what I think Christ is leaving us with here in this verse. Now, who does Jesus leave this peace to? Well, He tells us. He says, "Peace I leave with you." That's who has this peace. Christians. Followers of Christ. He doesn't leave this peace to the world. Isaiah 57 is very clear that the wicked, that there is no peace for the wicked. Not now and not ever. They may think they have peace in this life as they, Luke 12, as they build their barns and store up all their treasures of this earth. But as Christ brings misery into their life, the peace crumbles. And when He fetches for their soul in the coming days of the days of days, they don't have peace now. And they will not have peace for all eternity. The only soul at rest, according to Jesus in this verse, is the Christian soul. Those who have placed their faith and their trust in Christ alone. The wicked do not have that now or ever. Some years ago, a Christian couple in Northern Ireland were able to write in the death notice of their 12-year-old son. He was a miracle baby, waited for him to be born, their only child. And this Christian couple, who was their 12-year-old boy, was killed in this car accident, wrote in their death notice. And they said in this death notice, "As for God," and I'm quoting here, "as for God, His ways are perfect." That's the soul at rest. That's a Christian who has a heart and a peace of circumstance and a peace of conscience. Did they weep? Continually. Did they mourn his loss? Every day. But in those sufferings, as opposed to the wicked who have no peace, the Christian is able to say, Christ has left me a peace that I stand before him rightly. And now as he gives me in my life, I have a peace of circumstance, no matter what. As for God, his ways are perfect. That's a soul at rest. A soul in peace that Christ leaves us. Notice something else here. He says, notice how peace is a gift to us. Peace I leave with you, he says. That word leave, it's, I don't know how you read this, but when I read it, it's a little window into the massive heart of Christ. Peace I leave with you. Christ knows the world in which these disciples are going to walk into. He knows the suffering. And so on the eve of his death, and as his departure draws near, he leaves them with a gift. Not a gift, as we said earlier, of silver and gold, of a brighter future. He gives them the gift of divine peace. A spirit-wrought peace that begins to mortify the vices of worry, anxiety, fear, impatience. This peace Christ gives us by his Spirit begins to kill and mortify all of those vices in your life. But not only that, it begins to supply patience, fruit of the Spirit, right? Patience, meekness, gentleness, tenderness, trust, faith in Christ. So it begins to mortify and supply all that we need to live this life in godliness before him. So he left us with this peace. He leaves it with you as a gift, as a pilgrim. Secondly, he says, my peace I give to you. This peace we've been considering this morning, Jesus says, is his peace. My peace I give to you. A peace he had in his soul as he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, with nowhere to lay his head, rejected by his own. Christ himself had this peace in his soul, and it's a peace, he says, I give to you. A peace that endures suffering, not the escape of it. A peace that will go through or with you through your suffering, not will necessarily take you out of suffering. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, we heard this, in your faithfulness, O Lord, you have afflicted me. So it's a peace he gives us. He says, not as the world gives do I give you. I do not give the peace of wealth. I do not give the peace of health. I do not give the peace of outward reputation and physical rest. I don't give as the world gives, he says. I give the peace of inner assurance. I give the peace of full and free pardon. And I give you the peace that all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And I will be with you wherever you go to the ends of the earth. That's the peace Christ gives to his people, and he gives it to the most sinful and the most miserable on this earth. He gives his peace to the most sinful and the most miserable. And he says, come, draw from the waters. Come to the fountain. Many of us are so fraught with a lack of peace, fraught with fear and worry, because we do not come to Christ for true and everlasting peace. And Christ says, let not your hearts be troubled. I do not give as the world gives to you. Come to me. He heals the broken and he binds up their wounds. My peace, he says, I give to you. Third, he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Jesus, he continues to comfort his disciples here. Even as one, as Matthew 26 says, who is agonizing himself, he continues to press in and comfort his disciples. As the agonizing shepherd, he's facing the cross. He continues to pour into those he loves, his children. And he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Terasasthou is the word for troubled. It doesn't even sound good. Terasasthou. It means to be agitated, to be disturbed, to be tossed here and there, to be in turmoil, to be in confusion. And Jesus says, let not your hearts be this way. Don't let them be this way. It's as if he's looking right into the hearts of his disciples. And he sees the wavering, the unbelief, the sadness, the trouble, the terasasthou, the unbelief. He sees all of that. The anxiety, and he says, don't be afraid. Let not your hearts be troubled. And you understand, of course, that this is Jesus not expressing some pious wish of everything will be okay. Don't worry. No, everything's not going to be okay. These men will go into a world, they're going to be shamed, they're going to be beaten, they're going to be imprisoned. This is not some pious wish that, hey, life is going to work out for you. If you come to me, things are just going to get better. No. When Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, he understands what lies ahead. But more than that, he understands all the promises. All the promises that undergird this statement of let not your hearts be troubled, beloved. The promises that he's going to come again and take you to be face to face with him. The promises that he's preparing you a home. A home the likes of which no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived. How glorious and wonderful that home will be. And so this is not some pious wish. Hey, everything is going to be okay. Don't worry. No. Your life's going to get hard. But let not your hearts be troubled. Come to me. Come to me. And I will put your soul at rest. You can have a peace of a conscience and a peace of circumstance. Do you remember that day when the guilt was gone and you stood before God, sins washed, justified in his sight? Have a peace of conscience. I remember like it was yesterday. no longer burdened and harassed by the guilt of sin. And now Jesus says, I don't give as the world gives. They may give you all sorts of wealth and health. I give you my peace of circumstance and of conscience. Come, receive this peace. No eye has seen, and no ear has heard, no mind has conceived of that everlasting peace we will enjoy with Christ on the day of days. So let not your hearts be troubled. Terrified hast thou, tossed about. In 1750, Jonathan Edwards, some call him the last Puritan, in the August of 1750, he preached a message on this text. I invite you to read that message. Take you 15, 20 minutes. It would do you well in the Lord's day. The title of his sermon was The Peace Which Christ Gives to His True Followers. And just a little bit of historical context. At this point in his ministry, Edwards had been deposed as minister of his church in Northampton. And yet he still preaches there for a year. This is one of the sermons, imagine that, Jordan. This is one of the sermons he preaches during that year where the congregation has all but ruled him out, but he's still preaching in the same church. And I can't help but to think, Edwards, as he's writing this sermon, he's being deposed by his congregation that he's poured into, that he's loved, and he's watched over, pastored. And he reads these words by Christ, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, Mr. Edwards. I will take care of you. I want to read to you the conclusion of that sermon. He says, hearken therefore to the friendly counsel that is given you this day. Turn your feet into the way of peace. Forsake the foolish and live. Forsake those things which are none other than the devil's baits. And seek after this excellent peace and rest of Jesus Christ, that peace of God which surpasses all understanding. Taste and see, Edward says. Never was any disappointed that went this way. You will not only find those spiritual comforts that Christ offers you to be of surpassing sweetness for the present, but they will be to your soul as the dawning light that shines more and more to the perfect day. And the issue of all will be your arrival in heaven, that land of rest, those regions of everlasting joy where your peace and happiness will be perfect, without the least mixture of trouble or affliction, and never to be interrupted nor have an end. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. So let none of hearts be troubled, and neither let them be afraid. Let's pray. You've invited us, O Lord, to come and see what you have done. How awesome are your deeds towards us, the children of man. Shout for joy to God, all the earth, and sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise, Lord. And it is this peace, Lord, that we come to, that we want to receive by faith over and over again, each and every day, in this life. We thank you for it, that we can come to Christ in the gospel full and freely to receive this peace. And we thank you that for forever and ever and on end and on end, this is the peace we will enjoy with you in Emmanuel's land. Thank you, Christ, for purchasing this peace for us so graciously. In Christ's name, amen.